when have you traveled through a dangerous area where you felt unsafe? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Brant Berglund, your host and study guide author. We're beginning a brand new 13-week series entitled In the Crucible with Christ. I'm just thrilled to have as my conversation partners throughout this quarter, Dr. David Thomas, a recently retired professor of theology at Walla Walla University, and also Pastor James Ash, James, you've been here at the State Line Seventh-day Adventist Church for some time. We're glad to have you on board as well this quarter. So going back to our opening question, when have you traveled through a dangerous area when you felt unsafe?
Well, you know, when I was down in South America, my wife and I lived in Georgetown. And to really understand Georgetown, Guyana, you really have to think in terms of places like Los Angeles, certain places of Los Angeles, San Bernardino, places that you would definitely would be very cognizant of where you are during the daytime. At night, you just don't do it.
You just don't go out.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah.
So, James, you're new maybe to some of our listeners here. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You're here at the State Line Seventh-day Adventist Church, a senior pastor. Tell us about where you've been before you came here.
You know, my wife and I served in Guyana, South America, a missionary pilot. We were down there for nearly 12 years, flew for 9 of those 12. So serving the Lord in some of the most far-flung, crazy places in South America.
And now you have a family, you've moved back to the States, and you've been pastoring in the Northwest here for a few years.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct. And God has brought us, you know, seen fit to bring us to this valley.
And I'm thrilled to get back in touch with you. For our listeners, James and I actually attended Walla Walla, I think a year or so we overlapped. And then
you were a couple years ahead
couple
of me.
Years. Yep. And then at the seminary, we got to play some volleyball together, sing together, and study together under some great professors.
Yeah.
It's glad to have you here. So, interesting time in South America. Dave, how about you?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that question, and there's nothing really radical that comes to my mind. I have lived in rural areas most of my life and in little towns, and I think the most unsafe I've ever felt was going out at night by myself in an unknown area and wondering what might be out there, especially in terms of wild animals. That's been my biggest concern. I mean, that's where I felt the most afraid. And I remember as a child once we were walking along in a column, and this is when I still lived in Africa, and the leader found a cobra across the path and killed it, and it was a very big one. And so, you know, we all went home trembling with gratitude that he had had a good flashlight, and he actually was carrying a spear, which was unusual for people. But I was near the back of the line, so I didn't feel that scared until after the fact, but not during the
day. You realized what could have happened.
Yeah, then I wanted to get where we were going because it was an area in Africa that has a lot of snakes, and all of them are poisonous. So, but that's probably the most danger I've felt.
Yeah. And mine kind of goes along with both of yours. One of them was we got lost in downtown San Francisco in a poor part of town when I was a boy. My grandpa turned down a wrong way down a one-way street and then had to get out of it and took us through a neighborhood that it was at night. We were lost, and I was quite scared as a little boy. And then when I pastored in Alaska, we were hiking to men's retreat, and we came across footprints of grizzly bears. The footprints, I could put both of my hands in the footprints of these grizzlies, wow. And we heard rustling in the bushes, and we knew they were within, you know, 40, 50 feet of us. We made enough noise, hoped they would stay in the bushes, and they did. So, yeah, you know, our lesson this week is about the valley.
I have one more, Brent.
Oh, tell me one more.
I remember crossing an international border by myself. And it was down in a remote place, and they took my passport away because they're going to go and check it. And I'm sitting there. Nobody knows me. I don't know anybody. I'm sitting there, and I thought, well, I don't have any documentation anymore now.
Was this in a place that you didn't speak the language?
Oh, yes. I didn't speak the language. It was in the Middle East, actually.
Oh, my.
And I'm there wondering, okay, is this for real that I'm going to get across this border, or is this... And it took quite a while before anybody came back, and I'm sitting there by myself, and I began to be a little afraid, you know, that if this didn't work out, there's nobody to call, there's no place to go, I'm there at the mercy. But he came back with a big smile, gave me my passport and stamped it and sent me on my way. So
yeah, once they take your passport, you're without
yeah,
any...
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's what. And the longer he was gone, that's where my concern level rose, because right. Why is this taking so long? I think I was there like for half an hour without my passport while they were just checking to see if I could go across.
Well, you know, in certain countries, that's very serious. And some countries, not all countries, but some countries are very unethical, and they do things that...
Yeah, they could ask for money, or they could lock you up and nobody would know.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, as we begin this quarter thinking about the dangerous times of our life, the what we might call the crucibles, those moments when we've been tried or tested or suffered, our lesson begins this week with the 23rd Psalm, with the shepherd language. And the lesson itself is entitled The Shepherd's Crucible. And when you read the 23rd Psalm, you'll notice there is a leading of the shepherd, but the shepherd leads through some difficult places. And I'm wondering, and I would like to read the psalm, and I'd like you two to comment on it when you think about the leading of the shepherd, especially through difficult times. So Psalm 23, and I'm reading from a New American Standard. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So this psalm, we have the shepherd language. And as you may have seen, there are YouTube videos of people going to farms with sheep, and they call the sheep and the sheep don't come. And then the shepherd walks up and calls, and the sheep immediately lift their heads, and then they come running because they know the shepherd's voice.
Yeah.
Here, this psalm is about the shepherd leading, but the shepherd leads through difficult paths. Would you say that that is consistent with the God you know, that the shepherd, if Christ is our shepherd, if God is my shepherd, that he leads us through paths that sometimes are difficult?
Does it say that he leads through the valley of shadow of death, or as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? There's a difference. I mean, when I listened to you read that, Brent, I didn't hear the Lord leading people into the valley of the shadow of death. I heard people saying, "When I walk through it,
He is with
me." And see, this interests me a great deal, because I think a lot of people today have the idea that God's primary responsibility is to make sure my life goes well. And if my life doesn't go well, then I hear people saying, "Well, I'm done with God," you know, because if He's not watching over me and taking care of me. And I don't know that the Bible ever promises that God will be there to make your life go well. What He does promise is that whatever you go through in your life, He will be with you. And I think that's what that psalm is saying, that even in those occasions where I walk through the valley of shadow of death, you can have the sense of the presence of God, the presence of God with you. And that, I think, is a point. You know, we live in a world that's very broken, and from the very early parts of Scripture, it's very clear that there's going to be trouble. And think of the words of Jesus: "In this world you will have trouble." Or as King James says, "You will have tribulation." I like that word, tribulation. "Be of good cheer.
I've overcome the world."
Yeah, then he says why, you know, but it's funny to stop there. You know, be of good cheer. Mm-hmm. "You'll have tribulation, be of good cheer."
Yeah. James, what do you think?
Well, you know, you were talking about death. Death is a reality for everyone.
Yeah.
This is something that leaves no one out. And, you know, if I can be just a little bit transparent, yesterday morning we were having a prayer group, and at the conclusion of the prayer group, my dad's phone rang, and my aunt was on the phone. She said that my uncle had a massive heart attack and he's dead.
That quickly.
Huh. And it was just a moment.
Unexpectedly.
And you know, in that moment, and we've all had those moments, right? When you hear something and your mind says, "That can't be true." Mm-hmm. That's not true.
The denial, response.
That first
response. Or the unreality of it.
I just saw him. Yeah. I just interacted with him. How could he be gone?
Yeah.
And the reality is that I really like what you said, Dr. Thomas, is that the reality is that when we go through that, not if, when we go through that, Jesus doesn't just, take the exit.
Walk away.
And walk away from us. He's there with us.
Yeah.
He's with us through that situation.
Can I go to the next part of this psalm? Because it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's like, does God lead us into the presence of enemies, even our own, in difficult ways? But this language of a table with enemies, is this a little odd? Or do we have a biblical precedent for this idea of eating at a table with those who would have their hand against us?
Well, where in life can you sit down to a table where there are no enemies, Brent?
Oh. Well, I'm hoping this is one with you two gentlemen. But,
well, of course, in an immediate sense.
Yeah, but there's a truth to that.
You know, David wrote the psalm, and so David, obviously, he had numerous enemies. And when he's writing this, he's realizing, so who is his chief enemy? For a good portion of his life, he is literally, he's running for his life from his enemy, which happens to be the king, who's coming after him with every available, ability to try to take his life. And what does he do? But during this time, he's wishing, almost like he's wishing that he can sit down with his enemy,
and because, work things through.
Well, what happens? Saul came and he's in the cave and he goes to sleep, and David comes up. And the initial concept, his people are, his soldiers are saying, hey, take his life. God has delivered him into your hands. Just kill him.
Right.
The opportunity
is there in front of you.
And you'll be king.
Yeah.
God has foretold, and all.
And you've already been anointed. You're already king, really. Why not take what's yours?
Right. And so here David is like, no, that's the Lord's anointed. And so, David's writing this shepherd's psalm. And he says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And really, that's, I think you're seeing a window into David's heart.
Mm.
But there's another side to shepherding that we never think about. And that's the fierce side of the shepherd.
The protective side.
Yes. Mm. You think of David and the animals he slew, right? He wasn't just sitting around watching. And I was struck some years ago hearing somebody who'd been into Zimbabwe in a time when Mugabe was there, and it was a very dangerous place to live, and people were just disappearing. And he said that the people who live there, the Christians who live there, have a very different read of this psalm. We say, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, nice, how happy. And they say, the Lord is my shepherd. Be careful how you treat me, because he is my shepherd.
Oh.
Okay, so if you beat upon me, you're going to encounter my shepherd who's going to defend me.
That's the staff and rod.
Yeah, that's how they read that. Not this nice little, we'll sit by the pond by the little stream and drink water together, but be careful, because my shepherd will contend with you if you don't be careful.
I like that.
Yeah, it's something that I had never thought of, and it struck me with force. Wow, they see a shepherd as somebody who's there going to protect them, even in the midst of fire and brimstone, so to speak.
So as we come to the end of this first week's lesson, just to kind of recap a kind of the central topic for the quarter, the shepherd's crucible, the shepherd going through the time of difficulty, what can we take away then? Just, we can take away that the shepherd will be with us, that he will protect us, he doesn't abandon us, even when we go into dark places, right? The valley of the shadow of death, we can see that he leads, his rod and his staff provide comfort. He prepares a table before us. He even gives us an overflowing cup. He gives us goodness and mercy, and then a promise. We get to dwell in his house forever. It doesn't sound like the crucible with the shepherd is altogether bad.
No, it's not.
It sounds like it's better with the shepherd.
No, and I think one thing you should add, Brent, is that there will be crucibles in life. The odds of you getting through life without any trouble are zero.
Zero.
When you said earlier, James, about we're all going to die, that's the final crucible, and you're not going to escape that. Unless you're Elijah.
That's the truth. Well, our quarter, our lesson today for this quarter has come to an end. Next week, we'll be looking at the crucibles that come. My thanks to Pastor James and the Stateline Church for hosting our program here. And to all of you who are listening in, thank you for listening. For the Good Word, I'm Brant Berger.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.